KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring the literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Welcome to a reading of Eusebia Lutz's book, Three Dark Decks, read by Dr. John Hanners. Eusebia Lutz taught French at East Texas State University, now Texas A&M University Commerce, from 1934 until her retirement in 1972. She passed away in 1988 during negotiations for the publication of her second book, Stranger in Babylon. Three Dark Decks blends fiction with her actual desperate flight from the advent of World War II in 1939.
Chapter 1, in which Joan Lambert insists on a sidecar and meets a man who dislikes souffle. At noon on Saturday, September 2, 1939, Miss Joan Lambert stood on Dock 3 at Le Havre and watched excited people move up the gangplank of the Lorraine. Feeling reluctant to go aboard, she looked at the white bulk of the waiting ship and thought wistfully of the luxurious Provence on which she had intended to sail. In the present crisis, however, any boat was better than no boat. With thousands of Americans clamoring for passage on the Lorraine, she knew she ought to be glad she was among the few hundred who had succeeded. Even the most conservative news sources had conceded that war would be declared within the next few days. She felt an unreasoning impatience with the whole disturbing situation. "You don't seem anxious to go aboard, Miss Lambert." The American consul, who had just inspected her passport, smiled and raised his eyebrows as he spoke. "Leaving anything behind?" 10 more days of Paris that I could have had," she answered, restoring the little red book to her handbag. "Well, most people are glad they're getting out. There, for instance, is a young man who's pining for sunny California." A tall man in a gray tweed suit came hurrying towards them. He was casting rapid, searching glances around him as he walked, and his dark eyebrows were twisted into a frown. "Has he turned up yet?" he asked the consul. "No, but you're over an hour yet." The consul spoke to Joan. "Miss Lambert, this is Mr. Nelson, a fellow passenger on the Lorraine. He's looking for a misplaced movie star." "How do you do?" said Joan. "Who misplaced him?" "Glad to meet you, Miss Lambert." The young man smiled at her pleasantly. "It's Rex Roy King I'm looking for. He's driving up from Paris with some of our publicity staff. It's their responsibility, not mine, to get him on the ship, but just the same, I'd feel more comfortable if I saw him safely installed. My boss wouldn't like it if he got left behind." "Maybe he thinks a last-minute appearance is good advertising," suggested the consul. "Maybe. I suppose he thinks the captain will wait for him if he's late." Mr. Nelson looked disgusted. "I saw him in Paris last week, at a distance." Joan was thinking regretfully of the bright activity of her last days in Paris. "He was walking down the Rue de Rivoli, completely surrounded by admiring women." "He would be," snorted Mr. Nelson. "Well, here comes a crowd of women with somebody in tow," the consul announced. "Maybe it's the charming young man with the royal name." Chattering, excited women were besieging a handsome, dark-haired man who was making slow progress along the dock as he hastily signed the cards, pictures, and programs that were thrusting into his face. He caught sight of the trio watching him and waved. "Hey, Nick, come get me out of this," he called loudly. "I will not. Hope you get writer's cramp." Nick Nelson looked relieved as he turned to shake hands with the consul. "Now I can go aboard and forget about him. Rex Roy King is on his way. Let's go, Miss Lambert." He took Joan's arm and guided her up the gangplank. "Glad we met," he was saying, "and I'm glad we're heading for home. Been here long?"
2 months.
"Well, I've had 2 years of it. You're from Texas, aren't you?"
"Elementary, my talk, I suppose."
"Of course." They paused to lean over the taffrail for a last look back. The consul was trying to steer the harassed actor away from his insistent admirers. "Custer's last stand," Joan commented. "He looks desperate."
"Don't waste any sympathy on him. He loves it. Why don't we forget him and go have a drink?"
"All right." They made their way through the crowd that filled the corridors and went up the stairway to the boat deck. Only a few people were in the bar as an alert waiter ushered them to a table. Joan's companion looked at her inquiringly. "What do you want, young lady from Texas?" he asked. "Du bonnet, please." As he gave the order, Joan was inwardly acknowledging her approval of his easy handling of their casual meeting. He was a more agreeable person now that the worried frown had left him. He had black hair and a wide forehead and a very definite chin. His smile was good-natured, but that chin, she thought, showed that he would probably deal with any situation in a firm fashion. "I hope this tub leaves off on time," he was saying. "The Gretchen didn't even leave port, you know, and the Naples started out and then docked at Genoa and dumped everybody off." "Cheerful, aren't you? Well, anything can happen now. They might put us off at Plymouth. I wish we weren't even stopping, except that my best friend is getting on. Did you have as much trouble as I did getting passage?" He smiled ruefully. "It cost me a $20 tip to get mine. You probably just walked up to the desk and turned on the feminine wiles, didn't you?" "Well, no, it wasn't so simple. It was a whole day's work." Their stories of the frantic hours they had spent on the Transocean Company's offices lasted until the gong announced lunch. As they went down to the dining room, Joan's thoughts were as confused as the scene around her. The remarks her companion had just made about the uncertainty of transportation brought back memories of the wild rumors that had circulated among the throngs of worried Americans in Paris who were anxious to get away before the outbreak of war. Other liners had been held in port by last-minute orders. What if the Lorraine should meet the same fate?
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's reading of Eusebio Lutz's Three Dark Decks was read by Dr. John Hanners. Texas Scribes features the literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas and can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.